I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Egypt goes wild. The whole country was one big party on Sunday night. Egypt was celebrating the victory of its national soccer team, the Pharaohs. They scored the only goal to beat Cameroon in the Africa Cup of Nations.
Rigobert Song gets up, wins that ball back, back to Traoré. Oh, what a goal! Abu Traoré has picked up the loose ball, a mistake!
The Africa Cup of Nations is a three-week tournament, a huge event in and of itself and also part of a series of international contests that lead up to the big World Cup in 2010. Ghana hosted the Cup of Nations in its capital city, Accra. Peter Okwoche was there for the first week of the tournaments. He's a presenter with the BBC program Focus on Africa. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you very much, Farai.
So you were in Ghana 3 weeks ago from the beginning of the Cup. Can you describe the atmosphere in the city?
Oh, it was brilliant. You know, when Africans put up a celebration, it's absolutely fantastic. The whole of the capital city, Accra, was draped in Ghanaian colours. That's red, gold, black and green. It was just amazing. They had people designing clothes from the country's flag colours as well. They put on a great, great spectacle. The opening ceremony of the event itself was the best opening ceremony I've ever seen of any such event. I mean, I've seen some Olympic opening ceremonies and the World Cup, but this was just amazing. Truly African. They had tribes from all over the continent represented there at the opening ceremony, and they just put up a great show for Africans. They did.
Now, there was so much excitement around the games. How did people from other parts of the continent feel about the fact that there was this huge tournament?
Well, I mean, in the various African countries, there was a lot of excitement, especially for the countries that had teams represented at the finals itself. Football is very, very big in Africa, and Africans take it very, very seriously. Some see it as a means to an end. A lot of people hope that they or their children can come and play football in the West and make money and take it back home. So it is keenly followed, and a lot of the football stars that were on show at the tournament are seen as gods, demigods, if you like, in their home countries.
Ghana won its first game, so how did they celebrate?
It was a massive party that evening. I mean, trying to leave the stadium after the game was really, really hectic. Taxis were not even taking their fares. You had to walk back to your hotels, basically, because it was, you know, chock-a-block traffic all across the town of Accra.
Wish I was there. So you mentioned these demigods, the people who become stars. Tell me about a few of the most popular African soccer players, or as you would say, football players.
Well, I guess on show in Ghana during the tournament, you had the likes of Didier Drogba, who is from Ivory Coast, plays for Chelsea here in the English Premiership. I mean, he's big. Some of your listeners might know about the political crisis that has engulfed Ivory Coast in the last years. And he's one person who likes to go back to his country and give back. I mean, he grew up in abject poverty and has made a name for himself on the world stage in football. You had Samuel Eto'o, who plays for Barcelona in Spain. He's from Cameroon. He's well respected across the continent as well. But then, you know, the irony of it all is that Egypt won the competition. Most of their players actually play football back home in Egypt.
You know, it's interesting, as you're mentioning the litany of people who are playing in Europe, for the most part, I think of U.S. baseball, where you have people from Latin America, from Japan, coming in and playing on American baseball teams. What does it mean to have your people, the Africa's people, leave and go other places and become these huge stars? Is that seen as a unilaterally good thing, or do people say, oh, I wish they could stay at home more?
Oh, it's a double-edged sword. It depends on who you talk to. I mean, for the players themselves, yes, you know, a lot of them grew up in poverty, and it's a way to do good for their families back home. I mean, they get to Europe, they make a lot of money, and they're able to buy houses for their parents, you know. But who then suffers? It's African football. For instance, in Nigeria, where I come from, I remember growing up there and following the football league quite keenly. But it still exists. But, you know, nobody goes to watch these games anymore simply because the top players have left the leagues and are now playing in Europe.
Finally, while you were in Ghana, you worked on stories about how the games impacted the country's culture and economy. And that included some of the downsides of the games, like trafficking young men. Tell me about that.
Well, because a lot of people want their children to come and play football in Europe or in the best leagues in the world, a lot of families, you know, make a lot of sacrifices to be able to get their kids into these countries. I mean, we heard stories of families who sold their houses just to make sure that their kids could get, you know, could buy a plane ticket to France, for instance. And then the kids, these children who are about 13, 14 years old, get there and don't actually make it in football, you know, and that's the downside of it. First of all, they're so ashamed to come back home and say, well, we didn't make the grade. And, you know, and they stay back as illegal aliens. And, you know, it's so difficult for them. And you can imagine a 13, 14 year old in a brand new country knows absolutely nobody. It's really traumatic for them. That's one of the things that we looked at.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for this update.
My pleasure.
Peter Okwoche is a presenter with the BBC program Focus on Africa, and he joined me from the BBC studios in London.